On Twitter, you could use the handle at Jorgie_Mike. Mike Jorgensen checks in. Jorgie, how's life treating you and yours during these most trying times?
Not too bad, Steve. Not too bad. Missed you up in the press box on Saturday, I got to tell you that. So missed most of the crew. And if you were up there, I didn't get a chance to see you. So my apologies if you were. So
nope. First, that's only the second home game I've missed since Bilotti became coach in 95. So,
it was weird.
It is so weird. So let's go back to, let's say, a week ago Monday. You know, we know the last Oregon game was the Rose Bowl. What was it like to actually finally hit a game week, the preparation, watching practice, watching film, depth charts, and to have a Duck game to call?
Oh, man, I'll tell you. I mean, the build-up to it, obviously, makes you, it gets you excited again for something. You know, watching games on TV and all the other leagues talking about football and seeing teams that are actually 4-0 or 5-0 or what seems like 14-0 with BYU. It seems like they started in July for some reason, but it just, you know, you see other teams playing and you just get itchy to get back to it here in the state of Oregon, and you just knew it was right there. And of course, all it takes is Jerry and I doing a coach's show with Mario Cristobal and the juice that he brings every day. I don't know how he does it, but man, I'll tell you what, he brings the juice. And obviously when we left Wednesday night from a Casanova Center after interviewing him, I mean, we were pumped. Couldn't wait for Saturday to get there.
Obviously the debut of Tyler Shuck as the new starting quarterback was important. And I'll tell you what, after a couple series looked like he settled in, and I don't know if this might be the ultimate compliment. By the end of the first half, I wasn't even thinking of him as the new guy, but just the Duck starter who absolutely looked like he belonged as a Pac-12 quarterback. How impressed were you with this young guy game one?
I thought he played really well, to be truthful. And I think, like you, Steve, you know, as the game went on, and obviously towards the end of the first half and in the second half, but as the game wore on, you could see him get more comfortable, get into the flow, making decisions. You know, there's a couple of two or three balls that he'll look at and say, gosh, you know, I kind of got fortunate there that maybe they didn't get picked off. And those are the type of things that you learn, because now you're playing 66 plays in a game instead of playing 15 plays in a game. And so there's going to be a lot of situations that, like he was in against Stanford, that he's going to learn from. He's going to learn from those situations. But I thought he made some really great throws, deep balls in particular. I thought he used his legs. I felt like I was watching Taylor Alley run around out there. I mean, it just from the standpoint of the number and the way he runs and the athleticism that he has and that type of deal, it just added an extra dimension. And we lost the ball, frankly, a lot of times with his play action fakes, right, and the carrying out the run fakes and things like that. The amount of times that we lost the ball, which is a great sign, because that's exactly what you want the defense doing too. I thought Tyler Shuck did a really nice job, and he's only going to get better each and every week.
Talking Duck football with Jorgie, as you see things through the lens of a quarterback, I've always believed it's really helpful if the receivers get the quarterback settled in, knowing every throw doesn't have to be perfect. You saw great catches from Pittman and Johnson. How much does that push, I guess, the cohesion between passer and receiver, where the quarterback knows, look, I can put it where my guys can make plays?
Gives you a lot of confidence, I'll tell you that. And when you're a guy like that, like Tyler, who, again, played some downs last year, played some meaningful downs in certain games and that type of deal, but to play that many downs and have guys make catches like that, whether it was into coverage, whether it was one-on-one, whether it was a kind of, I don't want to say a back shoulder pass, but a ball that maybe was a little bit underthrown, where you want guys to make plays, then you begin to have the confidence of, listen, when I make a good throw, they're going to catch it. When I make an okay throw, they're still going to catch it. And they caught everything. Johnny Johnson, Johnny Yams, Jalen Redd, you know, Big DJ. Yeah. I mean, it just was neat to see, and that builds your confidence. And frankly, I think it just builds the whole confidence in the offense, Steve. And with five brand-new offensive linemen, I mean, holy cow, to have them perform like they did, and Ryan Walk, and I got to tip my cap to that young man. He has worked his ass off.
Yeah, you know, while you're looking at the quarterback, obviously, I think number two, you were like, so what's the offensive line going to be? I mean, Penei Sewell opts out. Shane Lemieux started for our Giants. Jake Hansen's on the Packers. And no spring, limited prep time, first-time starters. And, you know, Jorgie, in past years, you could debut against Bowling Green or Arkansas State. So what did you make of not only their performance, but what they could grow into?
Well, I just... Again, just like Tyler, I thought they, as a group, got better as the game went on. I thought they got more confident. The communication is the biggest thing. You know, when you have guys that, and you probably know the stat and have heard it 100 times leading into last week's game, you know, the starting offensive line that no longer is there had more than 200 starts between them, and that group last week had one. So you've got a bunch of guys who... Really, their communication that they've been able to, it really is a key along the offensive line, by the way. The communication is so, so big. And when you have guys that have been there for 3 or 4 years and played together, they don't have to say anything because they know what each other are going to do. They know what they're supposed to do. You get into a game type situation like this that none of them have ever played together. They've just practiced and gone up against a really good defense. I just thought they were really, really impressive and got better as the game went on. And that's a confidence builder for them, too. You needed that type of thing to happen, I think, going into game two up in Pullman.
One overall evaluation, I guess, the new Joe Moorhead offense. We knew he liked his tight ends from Mississippi State, Mike Gesicki at Penn State. Obviously a willingness to let his quarterback run. Some really neat designs. I thought that DJ Johnson TD catch, I mean, he walks in easy. Getting to see it for the first time, Jorgie, in a legit game situation, what kind of stuck out to you?
Well, I still think that what I like about it is I like the quarterback run. I just think in his offense, the quarterback run option portion of it, and not necessarily just running the option itself, but the ability for the quarterback to run, to be able to read, to be able to take off and do different things is what I like about it because it brings such a different dimension to the defense has to defend now. They got to defend not just the tailback or not just the receivers or not just the tight end. They got to also, sometimes with a guy as athletic as he is, they have to spy. They have to put an extra defender in just to keep an eye on a guy like Tyler Shuck because of his athleticism. So I like that portion of it. I also liked at times the two-back look where you could do a lot of things with two running backs in there at the same time with Verdell and Dye and be able to run an option with a lead blocker or be able to do some different things. I just think it really kind of adds a little bit of a different dimension that defenses are going to have a hard time defending, and that's why they're going to put up yards and continue to put up points. Really impressed with his offensive play calling and obviously the execution as the game went on.
You know, one thing that stood out on defense as we continue with Mike Jorgensen was, you figured the apparent strength of the team was going to be the front seven going against the backup and a rookie. You know, whether it was Jack West or Tanner McKeaton, not really a lot of heat on them. I think Slade Matutia had the only actual hit. And in this conference, I don't have to tell you, you cannot let the passer sit back there clean. I get it's game one. So your take on maybe the lack of pocket crashing, how surprised you might have been and how that's definitely got to improve.
Yeah, I'd get there a little bit more, to be honest with you. And even when they brought inside linebacker blitzes with the down lineman coming too, they could not get to the quarterback. And really, as you said, only about one time did they ever really get up in his face and create some pressure on him. So that's going to have to change. I mean, it's something that obviously this defense took a lot of pride in last year. And with Kayvon Thibodeau and company coming back, you kind of expect that a quarterback is going to get a little bit more pressure. Now, yeah, again, I got to tip my hat a little bit, even without Walker Little, to that offensive line for Stanford. Yeah. They did return some guys. They did return some pretty good players, and it showed early on not only with the run block but the pass protection too. And this week you got to turn it up because you don't want that true freshman, Jaden DeLora, in a pass-happy type of offense to have all day long the throwback there because he's got weapons to throw it to too. So, yeah, that you want to see that change. You want to see that pressure piece of it change, and I think it will. They'll dial some more up.
While there were some big plays allowed, and they benefited from a rough night for Stanford's poor kicker, Jet Toner, as we hit Jorgie with a couple of final thoughts, I'm like, let's look at the silver lining. if your defense keeps the offense out of the end zone, the opponent, that's when you have a chance to have a miss a field goal. So while there were a lot of drives and a lot of times into the red zone, you got to love how they stood up and kept them out of the end zone.
Yeah, 14 points, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you want to see, whether a team averages, you know, 5.5, 6 yards a carry or a couple of turnovers that can turn into points that didn't turn into points, sudden change situations that the defense got put into in a couple of times, and yet they came out and performed really well. And, yeah, I mean, you're a golfer, I'm a golfer, you know what the shanks are, and I felt bad for the guy. I mean, you just, once you push it and then you pull it, and it's off the hosel, and you start thinking about it. Poor Jet Toner, but frankly, good job, Oregon defense. They did what they're supposed to do by forcing field goals, and unfortunately it wasn't Toner's night.
Yeah, and as I've now turned 60, unfortunately, me and those shanks are getting a little too familiar. You know, on Saturday night, I'm watching the Cougs and the Beavs, and I'm like, wait a minute. Washington State is running as much as they're throwing. I guess Nick Rolovich putting the run and shoot, and they didn't even have their top guy, Max Borgie. So I guess how much different you think it'll be from not only just Stanford to Washington State, but facing a Cougar offense that just seems so out of character from what we've seen under Mike Leach?
Well, I tell you, what actually is in character in a way, Steve, is these receivers that they have. I mean, you start looking at Renard Bell and Travell Harris and Jameer Calvin and some of those guys, they've been around for a while playing within a Leach system where they know where the soft spots in a defense are. And in the run and shoot, it's the same concept. I mean, you're looking for those little holes, those little bubbles in those soft spots. And I think for the receivers, it probably wasn't as much of an adjustment as it was if they'd had some other type of offense come in. And so it's wide open. And I'll tell you, with Max Borgie, let alone what Deion McIntosh did, and then a pretty confident freshman, it looks like, that'll just wing it around, they like to chuck it in that run and shoot. And they will stretch the field, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on you. And believe me, Oregon's defense is going to have their work cut out. Up in potentially the snow. It was snowing up there pretty good today, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that trip is always its own X factor. Folks, he's Mike Jorgensen. He'll be calling the action. Of course, we'll have it for you here on Twitter. The handle is @Jorgie_Mike. Mike, I always appreciate your time and insight. Thanks so much for joining us, my friend, and obviously we'll catch up real soon.
All right, Steve. Always love being on with you. Thank you.
All right, take care, buddy.